Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I acknowledge with neither pride nor shame at the end of each of these programs that I'm still on what used to be called Twitter, now owned by an apparently exophiliac called Elon Musk. But I rarely read a lot of replies on Twitter because I know what a sinkhole that they are many of the occasions. But I happened to see that Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, was trending this morning, and so I decided to frankly see why. He is, of course, among the top listed contenders for the role of Kamala Harris's vice president. But, you know, I don't know enough about the guy. I know that talking heads on television keep telling me that he's very popular in Pennsylvania. And they quote opinion polls, which, just to remind everyone, have a response rate as low as 2%. So I don't particularly take that into account. But it has occurred to me from time to time that Josh Shapiro is of the Jewish persuasion. And I think I know exactly what country I live in, but as I say, I was perusing the replies in the Josh Shapiro is trending part of Twitter. And much of the discussion is about a long ago murder case, or not murder case, when a woman was killed, and facts seemed to point to a murder, and then they didn't. And the attorney general at the time was Josh Shapiro. This is 20 years ago, I think. And so it's a lot of probably Republicans chewing all this up. That's not what, I mean, I'm not a true crime fan to begin with, and I have no idea the legitimacy or truth of the stuff that's being thrown around on that subject. But what did draw my attention was the surprising plethora of comments that were dripping with anti-Semitism. I mean, not about that story, just in general. Just, you know, oh, while we're talking about Jews, kind of stuff. And it reminded me, again, of my thoughts that Josh Shapiro might have a problem being Kamala Harris's running mate because of that. Because there's still a lot of that around, apparently. Not in my precincts, but, you know, out there, as we like to say. And so I was imagining the, of course, not much of this is being talked about in public, but I imagined the discussion going on at Harris headquarters right about now, and somebody brings that up. Somebody there might have perused the replies on Twitter today as well. And I was trying to think of what the counterargument would be, and I think the only plausible, reasonable, cogent one would be, well, she's already lost the hater vote. Hello, welcome to the show.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. That same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine.
same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride, and down, down I go, round and round I go, like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name, and I'm a flame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. And you're the lover I have waited for, the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, darling, down I go, round I go, in a spin, loving that spin I'm in, under that old black magic called love. In a spin, loving that spin I'm in, under that old black magic called love.
From Santa Monica, California, the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer. Welcome you to this edition of the show. I'm sure you're wondering, as I have been, what's going on with Rudy Giuliani, formerly America's mayor, now more nearly America's debtor. Well, he's agreed to a last-minute deal to end his personal bankruptcy case and pay about $400,000 to a financial advisor hired by his creditors. This helps him avoid a potential deep dive into his finances that was threatened by a federal judge, this according to the AP. The agreement was filed this week in federal court in White Plains, New York, and came nearly 3 weeks after a judge there threw out his bankruptcy case after criticizing him, Giuliani, for repeated failures to disclose his income sources and to comply with court orders. He used to be so law-abiding. But after the judge dismissed the bankruptcy case, Giuliani's lawyer said he didn't have the money to pay the creditors' forensic financial advisor as required under bankruptcy laws, according to the judge. That led His Honor to order all parties to submit proposals on how to end the case and prepare for a possible evidentiary hearing on Giuliani's finances if no deal was reached. The deal was reached less than 3 hours before the deadline. The judge still has to sign off on it. The creditors include those two former Georgia election workers, Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss. They, you may recall, won a $148 million defamation judgment against Giuliani for his false ballot fraud claims against them related to that contested, by some, 2020 election. In the agreement, Giuliani will give his lawyers $100,000 to help pay the creditors' financial advisor, Global Data Risk, and pay the rest of the firm's expenses from the proceeds of selling either his New York City apartment or his Florida condominium. They're worth an estimated $5.6 and $3.5 million, respectively. Global Data Risk is also allowed to put liens on the New York City and Florida properties to make sure Giuliani pays all its fees. Global Data Risk has racked up $400,000 in expenses during the bankruptcy case. Freeman and Moss, the two election workers, are now free, to seek enforcement and payment of the $148 million verdict in federal court where they won their case. The bankruptcy had put a hold on collection efforts. Bankruptcy is just one of a host of legal woes consuming the 80-year-old Giuliani. Hey, he could run for president. Oh, he did in 2008. He was recently disbarred as an attorney in New York after court found he repeatedly made false statements about Trump's election loss last time around. He's also facing the possibility of losing his law license. Tom?
Losing his law license?
I think that's it. After a board in May recommended that he be disbarred. In Georgia and Alabama, Giuliani is facing criminal charges over his role in the efforts to overturn the 2020 election. He has pleaded not guilty. When he filed for bankruptcy, Giuliani listed nearly $153 million in existing or potential debts, including almost $4 million in state and federal tax liabilities. Then there's the money he owes lawyers and many millions of dollars in those potential judgments and lawsuits against him. He estimated he had assets worth between $1 and $10 million. America's debtor goes deep into debt. And now,
looks like must close.
Speaking of America's favorite exphiliac, Washington State Patrol investigators have found that the Tesla involved in the death of a motorcyclist earlier this year was operating in full self-driving mode. According to State Patrol Communications Director Chris Loftus, cases being actively investigated right now still, quote, but our criminal investigation division has confirmed that the Tesla was in Tesla's full self-driving mode at the time of the collision, he told the British tech journal The Register. Eventually, he says it'll be up to the Snohomish County prosecutor to determine if any charges are filed in this case, or whether there's any snow in Snohomish, for that matter. The motorcycle driver was killed in mid-April when he was struck by a 2022 Tesla Model S. According to court documents, the 56-year-old driver of the Tesla told first responders he was looking at his phone while the car was driving itself. Quote, the vehicle lurched forward as if accelerated and collided with the motorcycle in front of him. Unquote, the court filings. The driver was arrested on suspicion of vehicular homicide based on his own admission that his attention was elsewhere and that he was not in full control of his vehicle. Washington State does not permit self-driving vehicles to operate, with the exception of companies that have entered into certified testing arrangements with the Department of Licensing. NVIDIA, Waymo, and Zoox are certified to test self-driving in the U.S. West Coast state in Washington, but not Tesla. Laws on the issue of autonomous vehicle capacity might vary state by state or locale, but it is imperative that the traveling public remember the driver is always responsible for the safe and legal operation of their vehicle in any locale in the state of Washington. That's the State Patrol Communications Director talking there. He continues, a car may have the capacity to be driven autonomously, but that does not give the driver the legal right to do so. Unquote. As of now, I guess, Tesla hasn't responded to a request for comment. As of June of last year, Tesla's autopilot had been reportedly involved in 17 fatalities and 736 crashes. The Model S owner's manual says, like other autopilot features, full self-driving requires a fully attentive driver and will display a series of escalating warnings requiring driver response. The cabin camera monitors driver attentiveness. See cabin camera. The manual further claims use of full self-driving will be suspended if improper usage is detected. Even after the death of the motorcyclist. Quoting the National Transportation Safety Board, in reality, there are no self-driving vehicles on our roadways today available for consumer purchase, unquote. And I don't think they're giving them away either. In September 2022, Tesla was sued by consumers who claimed the automaker misled them by using terms that suggested that his vehicles could operate autonomously or would soon be able to do so, when the technology just isn't there yet. That case remains ongoing. Meanwhile, at the second quarter 2024 earnings call with investors' representatives, Elon Musk touted the self-driving capabilities of his cars. Quote, "By far the biggest differentiator for Tesla is autonomy. I still find that most people actually don't know how good the system is, and I would encourage anyone to understand the system better to simply try it out and let the car drive you around," unquote. Like I did. But on its website, Tesla says Autopilot is a hands-on driver assistance system that is intended to be used only with a fully attentive driver. It does not turn a Tesla into a self-driving vehicle, nor does it make a vehicle autonomous. Nor does it make Musk autonomous. Meanwhile, he was posting on X, formerly Twitter, a misleading AI-generated video of Kamala Harris. He reposted the doctored parody campaign video without labeling it as AI-generated and misleading. That's an apparent violation of his own platform's rules. Alongside the video, which Musk posted with the claim, quote, "This is amazing," unquote, with a laughing emoji. It's a digitally manipulated campaign video for Harris, which appears to use a deep fake voice of the nominee for president. In that video, the vice president says that Joe Biden is senile, that she does not, quote, know the first thing about running the country, unquote, and that as a woman of color, she is, quote, the ultimate diversity hire, unquote. The video then accuses Harris of, quote, trying to sound black and doing a Barack Obama impression, unquote. Rules of the platform, again owned by the very same Elon Musk, states that misleading content using deepfakes or other misleading tools must either be labeled or removed. Sounds like Musk self-love. Ladies and gentlemen, I've discussed with you earlier on this program, not this program, but in this series, the danger that neonicotinoid pesticides pose to bees, Bumble and Honey. You remember them. The nicotinoids are actually used to soak the seeds of crop plants, so that they not only contain the insecticide, but also emit it, sharing it. Now, the iconic orange and black monarch butterfly is getting harder to find in Wisconsin, according to Wisconsin Public Radio. A newly released study shows a link between the decline of butterflies and the use of agricultural insecticides, particularly neonics, in the Midwest. Butterfly abundance and species declined by 8% between 1998 and 2014. Monarch butterflies in particular declined over 20%, said this study's author. He's a professor at Michigan State. They have a university. He said a 17-year-long study examined 81 counties throughout the Midwest. The data captured how farmers use fertilizers, pesticides, seeds, and other methods to maintain their land and crops. What stood out in particular, he said, was the effect of neonicotinoid seed treatments. He said neonicotinoid seed treatments are effective in controlling invasive insects in soybean production. We need our soybeans, ladies and gentlemen. But they inadvertently introduce a new toxin into the environment that affects plants other than soybeans. It's sharing. This data on insecticides is exciting, according to a professor on entomology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, because it measures the impact humans have on monarchs and other species. A lot of people come up to me, she says, and say they're just not seeing as many monarch butterflies as they have in the past. This study is really our ability to dig into the data and think about the changing practices in agriculture. Unquote. U.S. farmers began to use neonics in the early 2000s to combat an invasive insect from East Asia, the soybean aphid. Maybe the most dangerous aphid. I don't know. In 2018, the European Union banned the outdoor use of neonics after they saw evidence of a link between its use and honeybee colony collapse disorder. Here in the good old USA, neonics were the most widely used insecticides in 2021, at least, according to a study published in the National Library of Medicine. I think I'm overdoing some books there. And you may have missed this story, ladies and gentlemen. On Wednesday, it was widely reported that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, accused as the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks on the good old USA, has agreed to plead guilty, quoting the Defense Department. It was part of a settlement that involved two accomplices of his as well. It pointed to a long-delayed resolution in a trial that seemed to never end, or never really even beginning. Part of the reason is the inconvenient fact that he was subjected to waterboarding 183 times while in CIA custody before coming to Gitmo, and targeted by other forms of torture as well, just in case the waterboarding didn't work. In any case, later this week, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin surprised almost everyone watching this case when he nullified the agreement that his own Defense Department had made with the inmates. As a former president said, we tortured some folks.
You gotta remember, we were really afraid. We'd ignored the warnings, and then we got played. There was a panic in the White House, panic of state, panic at the Pentagon. People working really late. They were patriots. They cared and they fought. What the contractors sold, they bought. So we rendered some Arabs with the help of the blokes. And like it or not, we tortured some folks. Now, we didn't think it was torture per se. That's what the White House counsel said back in the day. Enhanced interrogation is how it was known. So we slapped and waterboarded and froze to the bone. Sure, it violated our values and laws. But we were more scared than when we first saw Jaws. Some very good men did some very bad things. But who among us knows why the caged bird sings? So we tormented some Muslims, then went out for some smokes. It hurts to say it, but we tortured some folks. Now we could look backwards. We could game the blame. We could point fingers. We could wallow in shame. We could punish the guilty for each little flaw, as we're supposed to do under international law. We could say we're sorry, which we never do. because we're exceptional. And so are you. So let's leave it at this. Let's leave it unseen. Let's look to the future. Wipe the slate clean. You don't want to pursue this. Neither do I. It would be like busting me now because I used to get high. So let's pretend we don't hear the screams and the croaks and just tell our grandkids. We tortured some folks. No jokes.
From Santa Monica, this is Le Show. Ladies and gentlemen, add to your list of people on television whom you shouldn't trust. Your Auntie Vivica, as she calls herself. Actually, Vivica Fox. And your boy, Ice-T. They both have been doing those interminable Car Shield commercials. And this week, the FTC handed down a $10 million fine for misrepresentation, because Car Shield doesn't cover all your car repair expenses, as the ads claim. In fact, Car Shield doesn't do anything at all except run the ads. I was kind of tipped off to this when I pay too much attention to this stuff. The second iteration of Car Shield commercials began using the phrase, Car Shield administrators pay all this money. That's a nice way of saying that there's a whole other company that does the actual dealing with car repair shops, not Car Shield. And in the Washington Post, a number of car repair workers or owners say they refuse to do business with Car Shield or Car Shield administrators because of all the problems they've had with them. Of course, trust problems also occur with many people in the political arena. This week, President Trump, as you probably know, spoke to a convention of black journalists and suggested, in the progress of a 35-minute onstage interview, that Kamala Harris may not be being straight with all of us about her nationality, her heritage, her race. He said, well, she started for a long time, she was Indian, and then at one point she became black. Now, either he was displaying his ignorance about how embryos get half their DNA from each of two parents, or he was accusing her of running a scam where he got the idea of a high-ranking politician running a scam is anybody's guess.
Hi, this is another edition of Trump Social Audio, and I'm your favorite ex-president. At least I hope I am. Otherwise, there's some problem with the equipment. So this week, against my better judgment, which is my only judgment, I went and spoke to a bunch of black journalists. At least they called themselves black journalists. Who would want to do that? But the fake media came after me when I pointed out the obvious truth that Kamala Harris, I call her that out of respect, that at some point at a recent point, she became black, and the lazy media dogs all parroted the same line, that comment somehow meant that I was somehow anti-black. It's so stupid and evil that I shouldn't even have to defend myself, and I'm not. But long before I got involved in pro wrestling, which everyone knows is a mainly white sport, and a tremendous one, I was attending boxing matches, which is a mainly black sport, with my friend the great boxing promoter Don King, who, if you look it up, is blacker than Carolina Piccaninny. But that's not the only black celebrity I allowed to get close to me. I was a huge fan of Diana Ross, even though I never had the luck to go to one of her concerts, given the nature of the venues I assumed she played in. I always hired the best help at Mar-a-Lago and all my golf courses and hotels, and they almost never stole the silverware. And there was even some hate sent my way by some gymnast. But she and you should know that when I referred to black jobs being taken by immigrants, I was in no way casting aspersions against those immigrants wherever they come from. As I said before, I don't want to spend these moments with you defending myself. But who exactly should I defend? Talk to you before Kamala Mala's fake convention. Until then, have a MAGA week.
MAGA is a copyrighted trade name of MAGA Enterprises Cayman Islands, Limited.
Of this smart world.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
Meta, you know who they are. They own Facebook. Will pay a record $1.4 billion to settle a lawsuit with Texas. Texas accused the Facebook giant of breaking privacy laws by performing facial recognition on people's photos without their consent. It's the first lawsuit and the first settlement brought against an organization under Texas 2009 Capture or Use of Biometrics Identifier Act. Sure, Texas has that. American sports gambling behemoth DraftKings announced this week its shutdown of its Rain, R-E-G-I-N, Maker's NFT game and NFT marketplace effective immediately. You remember what NFTs were? They were digital artworks or other activities that you didn't really own, but you paid for. On their website, DraftKings wrote the shutdown was due to recent developments. That explains so much, so very much. They offered the holders the ability to cash out their cards based on factors that include, but are not are limited to, the relative size and quality of your digital game piece collection. Holders were also invited to transfer their NFTs to their own cryptocurrency wallets. Although the DraftKings run contests in which people use their NFTs to try to earn rewards and win prizes, will no longer exist. Members of the DraftKings Discord site, that's a social media channel, reacted with chagrin to the news and doubt that the vague promises of cash payments would amount to much. That's from Web3 is just going great. Going just great. The government of President Milei in Argentina last week announced the creation of an artificial intelligence group within the country's cybercrime and cyber affairs directorate. It's going to use statistical software to predict crime. The mission is the prevention, detection, investigation, and prosecution of crime and its connections through the use of artificial intelligence, according to the Ministry of Security, according to the British tech journal, The Register. It's expected to monitor the public internet and dark web to investigate crimes and identify perpetrators, to conduct image analysis, to analyze security camera video in real time, and to use machine learning algorithms to analyze historical crime data to predict future crimes and help prevent them, among other responsibilities. That's going to work just fine. And one business may be finally too big for Texas: data centers that power the modern internet and the development of AI. Up until now, the business-friendly state, Texas, according to Bloomberg, has welcomed the growth of data centers. It's been a boon for land values and property taxes. Texas offers vast tracts of land and a broad supply of cheap energy sources, including wind and solar. But the boom in data centers threatens to gobble up quite a bit of both. Real estate companies backed by private equity firms, along with tech giants, your Microsoft, your Alphabet, have snapped up space for AI data centers. The Dallas-Fort Worth area is already the second biggest U.S. market for leased data center space, leased as in with a D. To keep up with Texas' soaring energy needs, the state's grid by 2030 will need to support 152 gigawatts of peak demand electricity, almost double what it can currently handle. That's according to the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, better known as ERCOT. Data centers and crypto miners, which have also flocked to the state, account for a big chunk of that projected demand. The Texas power grid buckled during a cold snap 3 years ago, leaving more than 4.5 million homes without power. When Hurricane Beryl slammed into Houston last month, almost 3 million customers were left without electricity, including a major data center. That's just exactly how smart this world is. And now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Super Bowl champ Terrell Davis says United Airlines sent him a letter placing him on a no-fly list, adding what he calls insult to injury after he was handcuffed and taken off a plane this month in an incident that United has apologized for. Davis, Hall of Fame running back and former Denver Broncos star, posted a letter on social media this week, again blasting United for an incident he said was racially motivated. United said in a statement the letter was automatically generated, good work, and quickly rescinded, and that the flight attendant involved in the incident no longer works for the airline. Davis said he was removed from the flight in handcuffs after it was determined I did nothing wrong and was released. That's when he was placed on the no-fly list. I will continue to fight for what is right for all passengers of United, he said. I believe if I were not a black man, I wouldn't have been in handcuffs until they found out exactly what happened, said Davis. What happened, according to NBC News, is that his son asked for a cup of ice and a passing flight attendant didn't respond. Davis then said he lightly tapped on the flight attendant's arm to get his attention, and the flight attendant shouted, "Don't hit me!" The FBI confirmed agents responded to, quote, an allegation of a violent assault aboard the United flight. Deadline Springfield, Illinois.
Did you say Illinois?
No, I think I said Illinois. The Illinois sheriff whose deputy shot Sonia Massey, an unarmed black woman who called 911 for help in her home, apologized to the community during a gathering this week, said, "I offer up no excuses," unquote. Sheriff Jack Campbell faced a hostile crowd of more than 500 people at Union Baptist Church in a meeting facilitated by the Community Relations Service of the Justice Department, according to local media reports cited by the AP. Quote, "I stand here today before you with arms wide open and I ask for your forgiveness," an emotional Campbell said. "I ask Miss Massey and her family for forgiveness. I offer up no excuses. What I offer is our attempt to do better, to be better," unquote. Former Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson is charged with first-degree murder, aggravated battery with a firearm, and official misconduct in the death of 36-year-old Massey for the shooting. Inside her home, according to body camera, Massey moved a pan of hot water from the stove. Officer Grayson apparently feared she would throw it at him, and he fired three times, striking Massey once in the face, despite having several non-lethal options. Grayson, who is white, has pleaded not guilty. The Tedeschi Trucks Band apologized to fans last Sunday after an online revolt against a tour poster that appears to have been generated by artificial intelligence. Quote, "We would like to apologize to the artist community that we find ourselves in this unfortunate situation," unquote the band on its Instagram account, following a pair of shows at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado. Just a minor interruption to point out that when John Tesh, remember him, played at Red Rocks, according to fairly believable reports, his first comment to the crew was, "Can we get more rocks?" The poster was sold as an artist-created work, quoting the band again, "Going forward, we'll be refining our review process to prevent this from ever happening again." Dateline New Orleans. What do you know? On July 30, 1866, more than a year after Robert E. Lee surrendered to end the Civil War, Confederate loyalists in New Orleans showed the violence was far from over. This from the Times-Picayune. Black marchers seeking a new Louisiana constitution would give them the right to vote gathered at what is now the site of the Roosevelt Hotel, which has a beautiful Christmas display, by the way. As they did, a white mob sanctioned by the city's mayor and led by police descended, killing dozens of people and wounding many more in a brutal episode of Reconstruction-era resistance to black citizenship. This week, exactly 158 years later, city officials gathered to commemorate and apologize for the New Orleans Massacre of 1866, unveiling a new plaque. Gathering inside that hotel before the unveiling, the mayor, the police chief, and other officials and historians recounted the massacre, in which 34 black people were killed, over 100 others wounded. Some estimates put the number of dead higher. In her speech, the police chief offered an apology for, quote, the pain, the suffering, the loss that were inflicted upon the black citizens of this city. She continued, "There'll be chiefs and sheriffs around this country who disagree with apologizing for things of the past. Get behind me," she said, to enthusiastic applause. The effort was intended to recognize the role of the city's government and police force in the massacre. according to organizers. The city of Llano, Texas, issued an apology this week after a large number of gravesite decorations were removed from the city cemetery and thrown away during a deep clean. The city said the routine cleanup of the cemetery in late July went too far. Steps will be taken to ensure residents will know about future ones. Officials attributed the removal of flowers, sentimental items, and other decorations of the graves to poor communication among city staff and no communication with residents regarding the deep clean. From now on, the city said it will announce cemetery deep cleans in advance on its Facebook page and in notices included in utility bills. So read your utility bills carefully. Supermodel Bella Hadid apologized this week for participating in an ad campaign for Adidas that was criticized by Israel, telling her more than 61 million followers she would, quote, never have participated, unquote, if she had done more research. Yeah, do your own research. Hadid had appeared in ads to promote the sportswear brand's re-release of its classic SL72 sneaker. It first debuted to coincide with the 72 Munich Olympics. They were targeted by Palestinian attackers, resulting in the deaths of 11 Israelis and a German police officer. There's fairness for you. The Israeli government's X account slammed the brand for using Hadid in the ads. Her father is Palestinian, and she is an outspoken pro-Palestinian advocate. In her statement to Instagram, Hadid said she was not aware of the shoe's history. Quote, I am shocked. I am upset. And I am disappointed in the lack of sensitivity that went into this campaign, she said. Photos of the ads show her and other models posing with flowers while wearing the shoes. Also apologizing for its ad as Apple. It's apologizing because an Apple ad was displaying an outdated and stereotyped portrayal of Thailand. Negative attention follows Apple's apology for the Crush iPad Pro ad, which was removed from broadcasts a couple months ago. Thai people are deeply unhappy with the advertisement, said Thai lawmaker Satra Sripan in a statement reported by Bloomberg. I encourage Thai people, he said, to stop using Apple products and change to other brands, unquote. The 10-minute ad, I'd stop right there, entitled Out of Office, was the latest in Apple's The Underdogs comedy series, depicting a recurring cast of characters as they use Apple products to resolve issues within their workplace. The ad debuted middle of last month, featured the Underdogs team in navigating around Thailand on a quest to find a new packaging factory. Thai citizens, lawmakers, and influencers criticized the video's use of sepia filters and its depiction of an airport, transportation, and clothing and hotels, misrepresenting the country as being underdeveloped. Apple said in a statement, we apologize for not fully capturing the vibrancy of Thailand today. The film is no longer being aired. Unquote. The comedy artists at Apple. And I, by the way, in a postscript, I'm starting to build computers. One more apology. The Catholic Church, again, has apologized for its treatment of a priest who was sexually abused as a young adult in the 1980s by a fellow member of the clergy. Father Paddy McCafferty gave evidence in the trial of former priest James Martin Donaghy. Donaghy was jailed in 2012 for 10 years. Oh, so he's out. In a statement, the Bishop of Down and Connor, Alan McGuckian, said the priest was not believed and supported by the diocese when he should have been. He said he apologized most sincerely to Father McCafferty, who for his part said the apology is an important step towards healing and recovery. Donaghy, who is now in his 60s, was jailed for sex crimes against multiple victims. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, news of the Olympic movement, produced by Jim Ebersol III. Colombian skateboarder John Carlos Gonzalez raised his middle finger to the camera during an Olympics event this week after a camera operator allegedly ignored his request to step aside. Yes, skateboarding is in the Olympics. An Olympic skateboarder, Gonzalez, claims he flew into a moment of rage after the camera operator ignored his warning to move out of the way before doing a trick. Yes, a trick is an Olympic event. He competed in the men's street skateboarding prelims. However, he finished bottom of the event and failed to qualify for the men's street skateboarding final. During his run, Gonzalez, who's ranked the 22nd best skateboarder in the world, was unable to land a trick on a rail, landed awkwardly on his back. As he got to his feet, Gonzalez angrily stared straight at the overhead camera that was filming him. He then noticed a second camera that was shooting the event and stuck his middle finger up at the lens. He was heavily criticized for his actions. The skateboarder expressed remorse on Instagram. I wanted to thank all the people who watched me and supported me. It didn't go very well. I tried to do my best, but it wasn't my day. I got hurt a little. I already had a blow and did not want to hit myself again, and I apologize for my gesture towards World Skate Skateboarding and World Skate Official to the people, children, and family who saw me. Gonzalez claimed his angry outburst occurred after an Olympic camera operator ignored his request to step aside before he skated down the rail. And the official Olympics broadcaster, speaking of cameras, has urged camera operators to film male and female athletes in the same way to avoid, quote, stereotypes and sexism, unquote, creeping into the coverage. The Paris Olympics are the first to reach gender parity among athletes, parity with a T. Women's sports are also being given more primetime broadcast spots to help raise the profile of women's sports. The head of Olympic Broadcasting Services said his organization had updated its guidelines for camera operators, most of whom are men. Well, let's work on that. OBS is responsible for the TV coverage of the Olympics. Its images are shared worldwide. Quote, unfortunately, in some events, they, women, are still being filmed in a way that you can identify that stereotypes and sexism remains, even from the way in which some camera operators are framing differently men and women athletes, said the OBS chief executive. Quote, again, women athletes are not there because they're more attractive or sexy or whatever. They're there because they're elite athletes, unquote. Said the problem was mainly down to unconscious bias with camera operators and TV editors tending to show more close-ups of women than men. Well, yeah, it's a movement. The Olympics. And we all need one, don't we? Every day!
We'll be right back.
Just one more apology. Paris Olympics organizers apologize to anyone who is offended by a tableau that evoked Da Vinci's The Last Supper during the opening ceremony. Defending the concept behind it, the segment recreated the biblical scene of Jesus Christ and his apostles sharing a last meal, featured drag queens, a transgender model, and a naked singer made up as the Greek god of wine, Dionysus. Quote, clearly there was never an intention to sow disrespect to any religious group. The ceremony tried to celebrate community tolerance, said spokesperson Anna Descamps at a news conference. We believe this ambition was achieved. If any people have taken any offense, we are really sorry. The Catholic Church in France was among those criticizing the segment, calling it, quote, mockery of Christianity, unquote. That's it for this edition of the show. Much more about this nutty world next week, same time, same station, on radio or on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. The email address for this program, your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts, look it up, and playlist of the music heard here, all at harryshearer.com. Much more there, too. Check it out. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead and Thomas Walsh for help with today's broadcast. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy Radio Network. So long from the home of the homeless.